Today, we're joined by Matt White, Fire Chief for the Baxter Fire Department. We'll discuss the department's mission, community safety efforts, and the leadership it takes to serve a growing city. Welcome, Chief. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man. Takes a full-time job taking care of Danny Holmes. We love you, Danny. But I appreciate you being here. I know you got a lot going on. But let's learn about Matt. Let's learn about you for a little bit.
Sure.
I love talking about people's career, their path to where they're at and what got them there. And I know a little bit about that for you, but I want everybody else to know. So, Matt, are you originally from Baxter?
No, I'm not. I'm originally from Cookeville.
Okay.
So, a little background, I guess, started a long time ago. Family's been in emergency services for years. My dad and my two oldest brothers were EMTs years ago, and I guess kind of fell into it. Wasn't my plan to be where I'm at today, but as most people, life happens, and you figure out where you're supposed to be. And I love what I do. So we started out different careers and different paths and figured out where I wanted to be.
So young Matt White in Cookeville High School, is that where you went?
Mm-hmm.
Cookeville High School?
Correct.
Cookeville High School. What did Matt White in Cookeville High School think he would be doing?
Well, he thought he might be a mechanic or a truck driver.
Okay.
And here I am today.
Here you are, Fire Chief for Baxter, and you've not just worked for Baxter. You've worked for other City Cookeville, and I want to get
Correct.
Into that. But you've not been tied to City Baxter, even though you've been great for us. And, of course, that's my hometown and proud of it and proud that you're there leading the department. But you said your dad and brother EMTs?
Mm-hmm, correct.
And did you start out as an EMT?
I did, yes. I actually started out in the fire service by just a chance. I had a friend of mine done some work for, hung around, and he was on the volunteer fire department years ago for the county. And I turned 18, and we were running around together, and I wound up at a fire with him one day, and I thought, boy, this is really cool. This is cool stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this. The adrenaline rush, what went on. So after a couple months, I wound up, after following him, wound up being a volunteer fireman for the county and got on there. And we went through the process and was a volunteer for years. So
which volunteer department did you serve out of first?
Putnam County.
Putnam County. Any community? Was you located to any community, or is it just wherever you were, if you could get there,
it was
in the county?
That was pretty much
okay.
It back then. It was a very small group, very small core people that were there. I was originally around the Holiday, Burgess Falls area. So,
okay. But you might have been on a date down at Silver Point, and somebody call you and say, hey, we need to get you to Monterey.
That's right.
And you'd get there.
You could, yes. You wind up anywhere in the county.
So let's talk about your career a little bit, Matt. Where did you start off at? Outside of the volunteer, where did you go from there in the fire?
Oh, I had several different jobs. I worked an auto parts store. I worked as a mechanic, body shop, all kinds of different things. But my brother, one of my oldest brothers, influenced me to go on and get kind of pursue this path. And I started into EMT school early on and got into it as a volunteer and as a fireman, and really loved the emergency services. Just involved it, great things happening, enjoyed it. So I continued my path through emergency services and had some good instructors and good people around me and really learned a lot and kind of grew from there.
Yeah, and so you got to have a passion for it, right?
Absolutely.
It's a selfless act to be in public safety and be in emergency services. And fire is one of the biggest services and volunteer and professions of being selfless that you can be, because anything can happen at any time. And you've been doing it how long now?
37 years.
37 years total.
Total, yes.
When did you end up going full-time into the fire service?
1990.
And is that with Cookeville?
Yes, I was with Cookeville.
So you started out as a basic firefighter, I'm assuming?
Correct.
And how long were you at Cookeville?
30 years.
And you finished as a...
I finished as a shift captain.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so 30 years, well, that's 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Doing my math right? COVID.
COVID hit. Different world.
Yeah. You leave during 2020.
Right.
Then where do you go from there?
We'd already started in Baxter a little bit. They wanted to change some, wanted the growth. They had so much growth going on, they wanted to look into expansion of it. The chief for me, Chief Holmes, had left, and when he moved out of town and left, there was a vacancy, so they appointed me to that position, and since then we've took off. It's really exploded in growth, And like you said, during COVID, we found out how much we really needed some extra people there in emergency service because it was a really different challenge. And we worked with the mayor at that point, and we were able to establish some full-time people coming on and a chief full-time, and that's really made a huge difference. So
prior, there was never a full-time firefighter in Baxter, was there?
No.
Because it was basically volunteer.
It was.
When you classified as volunteer?
It was. It was all volunteer in Baxter for years, and in, I believe it was 2011 that we started a program under Chief Holmes. He started a part-time, just somebody there during the day to help respond, take care of the apparatus, make sure everything was done, paperwork needed to happen, and that's where it really started. So, and from there, we grew out from a small portion during the day to now somebody's there 24/7. So
I'm thankful that the city had the vision, right?
Absolutely.
And the resources to you know, eventually make it a full-time department, because Baxter is growing. And we're going to talk about that. Just because you're a fire chief doesn't mean you don't know anything about growth, because you're living it and seeing it, right? And
sure,
we're going to get into some of that. But let's get a little bit back to your career. When you were full-time with Covey, you were there 30 years, and you started helping out Chief Holmes in 2000. When did you start helping out Baxter?
2008. As a volunteer, yeah.
So you were doing volunteer in Baxter from 8 to, well, of course, you're there now, but you 12 years, your career from 8 to 20 was, you know, Covey Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of time.
It is.
And you're still married.
Still married.
Let's be clear.
Yes, be clear.
She's
bless
wonderful,
her heart. Yes,
patient
she
woman,
is
right?
Patient.
So how do you handle family? You've got children, and how do you handle that?
You know, it's very difficult. You know, there's a lot of time away, and you have to have an understanding family that really enjoys that, that allows you to be able to help your community and be able to be on call like that and disappear at just a heartbeat. You know, get up from a dinner table and leave and be gone for hours and hours. Miss ball games, miss special events. It's hard, and you have to have an understanding family to be able to do that.
Yeah, they're sacrificing your
absolutely
time, right?
They every day.
They miss out on time with you because you're spending your time protecting and helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I can't thank you enough. I could thank you the rest of the show, and it never will be enough for the gratitude we have for the service and your career and the volunteer side of it that you do by serving and with fire departments. But your family are the ones that miss you. But you've been in this since 90, so you're approaching, you're 35 years. And so you obviously love it.
Absolutely.
Still doing it, right?
Yeah, you know, everybody always asks, why do you do that? And I said, I love every day because every day is different. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know exactly where you're going to be. But you know you want to be there to help somebody,
sure,
no matter what the problem is.
Yeah.
And then that's what's so great about it is I don't know what the day is going to entail, but I do know that I'm here to help somebody no matter what that day.
Yeah, when you wake up in the morning, you're hey, I'm helping somebody today.
Yeah.
And that's one of God's greatest gifts he gives us is to get up every morning and try to help people, right?
Absolutely.
And you are in the profession that you're going to get up and you're going to help somebody today or several people. Mm-hmm. And so, again, thank you, Matt, for doing that, and thank you for doing it in Baxter. So City of Covey is a lot bigger, obviously, of Baxter, the fire department. When you left, how many people were at the City of Covey? How many firefighters?
There was 60 total people there.
60 people, and then you get to Baxter, and then 2022, I think you said, that become full-time. How many full-time at Baxter now?
So there's actually just 3 full-time people, one each shift per day, that's full-time, 24 hours a day. We have some supplemental part-time people that help fill in shifts and during the day that fill in. We've got a goal with the council and the mayor down there that as we projected growth we have, we're going to expand and add more and more. We have to. I mean,
right,
it's just not something you can do on your own. And, of course, we still rely on volunteers to come in. We have about 17 volunteers that come in and help us at various points of day and night. So.
Have you seen the volunteer efforts grow, or has it declined, Matt?
Actually, it's kind of declined. We were actually glad in the last year. We've seen a lot more applications turned in and the willingness to get involved. But overall, the decrease of volunteer throughout the nations is here.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. There's so many requirements they have to meet. There's so much that they have to do to be able to volunteer. And it's just hard for people to give their time up with their family and other qualifications, jobs they have to do and support to be able to do that volunteer.
So you think that's it, right? I mean, it's not people don't want to help anymore. It's just the time availability is not ideal for what the other plans they have, right?
Yeah, it's not like it was 20 years ago or so that, hey, you just showed up at the local fire department. You come in, you hang out, you go call, you help somebody. Well, there's state requirements now that mandate what you have to do before you can even get on a fire truck. So those things have to be met before you start. And once you get that training involved and you have a slow progression in the next first couple of years to be committed to be able to be a fireman. And once you get that, those people, it's just a lot. It's a lot of time, a lot of commitment away. And people that's not been around any of that, it's hard to do.
So. Yeah, and it's a sacrifice of time, right? It's like you said, families and stuff. Are the volunteers now? Are they younger? Or are they my age? Are they older? What's it look like?
It's all over. There's a lot of middle age though we see coming in.
Yeah. You're never too young to serve.
You're
right?
Never. No, no.
And you got a passion to say, hey, I want to get involved where I can help people. This is one way I can volunteer. And, of course, Baxter, Cookeville, all the county fire departments, I'm sure they're all needing as
many
volunteers.
They're all needing help. Everybody, every one of them would love to have some people recruited and come in and talk to them about it. So.
And there's ways the training costs money, Matt?
Yes.
And are there ways that could be funded, or is that going to be out of the volunteer's pocket?
No, it's usually funded by that department.
Okay.
The state's been wonderful the last couple of years. They've passed several things. And there's been some, by legislation, there's been a lot of money pushed through to help those people pay for it for free. So that's kind of the help push for them.
Well, that's a PSA, right? Many people can volunteer. Let's get them out there. I got more with Mr. White, Chief White, from the City of Baxter Fire Department. We come back in just a moment. Welcome back, Fire Chief Matt White from the Baxter Fire Department's with me. Chief, we have talked about your career and service in the fire profession, starting out with volunteer in the county and then going to the city of Cookeville, and you retired from the city of Cookeville in 2020 at probably the worst time possible. No offense.
It was difficult, yes.
I'm just kidding, man. But no, it's retired in 2020, but there's a reason you retired. You came to Baxter to help grow that department. And you've been there since 2008, right?
So correct.
Helping out with Baxter.
Yep.
And, of course, Chief Holmes was there at the time. And so you've been part of our community in Baxter, and, of course, part of the county and the city of Cookeville since 1990. But you saw a need there where you could help out in Baxter. You live in Baxter now, right?
Correct. Yes, sir.
It just made sense for you to get home. So the fire department, Baxter, as you said earlier, officially came full-time in 2022, but it was located downtown, and it's no longer located there. It's up there by the ball field, so the baseball field. When did that transition happen? When did the city decide to move the fire service from downtown Baxter just up a couple streets by the baseball field?
Well, there were several things involved in that. One is that the buildings they were in was pretty run down. It needed a lot of update. It was barely big enough to fit the fire truck in. Over the years, they've had that station since it was incepted. And we're talking about when trucks were very small. And, of course, as we gain in age, we tend to get bigger and larger and carry more equipment. And the trucks barely would fit in the doors. Very difficult to get in and out. There was really no office space. There was no entry for anybody hardly to get in from the public. So they decided also they were going to build a water department building because they needed one of those. That building was deteriorating also. And the city put together a fund, and they decided they were going to build a larger building, and we split that building. Half of it's the water department, half of it's the fire department. So.
Are you already out of room, or are you good for now?
Pretty much getting close to being out of room. It's we're trying to keep everything stacked in as best we can, but, you know, it's hard to envision the future and exactly what you're going to need.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard to put that big price tag out there and say, this is what we need in 30 years.
Sure.
But a lot of people want to do it for what's today.
Well, and of course, money is, and government, when you're talking about providing a service, and it could be any service in government, but specifically public safety and emergency response, it costs money, right?
Yes,
sir.
And
your most expensive cost is a truck, and engines are costing what these days?
A fire engine itself is over $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't that crazy?
Ladder truck's over $2 million.
And so how many do y'all have in Baxter?
So we have two fire engines itself. We're trying to figure out a way to get a ladder truck in Baxter pretty soon. There's a need for it. There's we know that there's a place that we need to have it there. It's just getting to that point in government where we can do that.
Yeah, and of course, there's always grant monies available, right, for stuff like that. We, you know, the county just got a notice the other day. I think we're getting a fire engine or an apparatus through grant money, and we're always seeking that. I know Baxter is as well. And you know, how often, Matt, roughly do we get fortunate enough to receive the benefit of a grant?
Well, it's, you know, I think we do pretty well in Baxter. I usually tend to get several grants every year from different places. Not having a grant writer herself and having to do it on my own a lot of times, it is difficult, but I think we feel funded. We got one of our fire engines was a grant back in 2017. We actually got it. So that was our last fire engine we purchased, and it was on a grant from FEMA. So there is some money out there. It's getting slimmer on a lot of those issues. But, you know, keep plugging at it, trying to get what you can. And the money that the legislators put out, we try to put it to good use.
Yeah, and I'll say, you mentioned earlier, legislation has been really favorable for emergency services the last few years. They're trying to get more people involved and trying to get you all access to better equipment, right? So what is the ideal life of a fire engine? How long should that last your department?
So a typical fire engine, they have a life of about 20 years. 25 is kind of pushing it, depending on the mileage and how much it's operated. But you're looking somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and you're hoping it lasts that long, right?
Correct.
You just never know as much as you're – and I had a guest on a few weeks ago. It's more than just a structure fire, right?
It is.
Yeah, you all responding to emergency calls. Somebody that may have failed at their home, or somebody there's been an incident, a collision, a wreck inside the city or somewhere near. You all are responding to different things. It just doesn't have to be a fire. And when you respond, you there's several things you take with you.
Yeah, that's correct. We try to do an all hazard type approach, but. It's hard to incorporate everything, but since we've been there and I've been chief there, we've not only done fire, but Chief Holmes for me, we started the emergency service program, being able to send first responders out. I have EMTs and paramedics at staff daily. Since then, we've expanded our realm a little bit farther, not only into that. We started somewhat into some codes. We went into some technical rescue, so we're trying to do not only vehicle extrication, but like rope, trench rescue, things like that. And some of that's just training and manpower and equipment to get to.
Yeah, and of course, we talk about mutual aid a lot, right?
Correct.
So yes, if there's an opportunity, and of course, if something happens within the city, you're going to be responding, but you're also going to have the county help you respond. But it also goes both ways. If you can help the county, you're going to respond, right?
That is right. You know, and that offer's made open all the time. We have an automatic aid agreement with the Putnam County Fire Department for structure fires and any structures to respond in the area automatically. But, you know, I've opened it up to other communities. It's not just Putnam County. You know, I've talked to departments in the Edge, Jackson County, Smith County, and DeKalb County. We'll help each other out no matter what.
Sure.
Being on the board of Upper Cumberland Fire Chiefs, we've created a mutual aid network between us. And we kind of help try to take care of our own real closely. It's nothing for any of us to pick the phone up and call the next fire chief over and say, hey, I need this. And it happens.
Sure.
Somehow, some way, we'll get what we need. Very close community. And, you know, living in Tennessee, living in Upper Cumberland, we just try to take care of each other the best we can, and it's worked out great.
Yeah, the Upper Cumberland, golly, talking about mutual aid and the definition of helping each other, y'all define that. I mean, I think every time there's a need, no matter where it's at, you all are going, right? And that's part of your training, but it's also part of your heart and your mind about helping people. And Baxter's no different. We may be small, you know, we may not have everything, and we're going to talk about the growth here in the next segment. But we may be small, but we're willing and our heart's there to help.
Absolutely, all the time. We're wanting to get out there and help. You know, but Baxter, not just even the fire department, but all of Baxter City employees, they're just willing to help anybody in the community. And that's what's so great. It's still a small town. it's growing, it's getting big, and we like to have all the stuff we can, but it's even better when we can reach out and help people that are just outside or just in need. So.
Yeah, that the whole team at Baxter. I mean, Mayor Martin did a great job with the council, him and the council, and now Mayor Holmes is doing a good job continuing those efforts. There's expansion, there's growth with services, keeping up with growth. Again, like I said, we'll get into that, but it takes a team effort. It takes the willingness to do so. And I mean, Matt, let's be honest. You had 30 years in McCookville. You could be at home right now listening to whatever shows on TV at whatever time of day it is, and or you could be doing things something different. But your heart's still in the fire service, and you're helping Baxter out. So it's in you it to is. Do what you're doing.
And I love what I'm doing, and I love what I do. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have something like this. You know, I'm not one to get out and run around and be gone all the time, yeah. And not do anything. So, yeah.
Well, it's I'm thankful for you and what you're doing. As Chief of the City of Baxter Fire Department, Matt White is with us. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Today we have Matt White, City of Baxter Fire Chief for the Fire Department, a full-time operation since 2022. Before, it was a part-time volunteer basis that Matt has been a part of since 2008. And Chief, you retired from the City of Cookeville as a shift captain in 2020, and you've been full-time or been involved with Baxter ever since. Baxter has experienced, especially since COVID, but even before COVID, I mean, I've lived there most of my life. I was only gone 3.5 years after college, but Baxter has steadily been growing, right? I don't know of a time in my lifetime we said, well, Baxter's not growing. It's taken off for sure since COVID, but even before that, we were growing, and you saw that. So how do we manage – what are the growing pains of growth, and how do we manage it?
Well, as we continue to grow, we have – like you said, we have noticed that it was probably a small growth that wasn't really noticed for years and years. But after COVID and all the moving in and real estate's kind of went different, the growth just exploded in Baxter. We've got more residential, more commercial places coming in than we've ever thought about, which is great for the community. It helps to fund everything that's going on. You know, I think it's a great thing, and we have to embrace that. Of course, you have to plan for your services as that growth happens. You have to plan on what you're going to do, and sometimes there are growing pains that do take place.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have a master plan in place, it's going to be set out, and hopefully you can fulfill that as you go.
Well, I imagine, and it's probably been this way since you've been full-time in Baxter. I imagine when those conversations come up with the city council, they're involving you and the police chief and, of course, John Ramsey at the Public Works, and they're involving you all, and you all are having staff meetings, and you're continuously communicating and talking to each other about it.
Yes. So that's the thing is try to coordinate all the different services, and everybody has different needs and wants. You know, but when – whether it's somebody calls and needs a police officer or somebody has a water leak or their house on fire, they don't care. They want somebody to show up, and they plan for that to happen. So that's where the governments and cities and counties have to plan for that as they grow. And as the expansion happens to take place, we have to look forward to that, and that's what we're doing. We've kind of got several things in mind that we'd like to do in the next few years down the road.
So ideally, in a perfect world, Chief, you have 3 full-time people now, one 24-hour shift. Is that what you said?
Yes.
So you have 3. Ideally, in the perfect world, how many full-time firefighters would you want?
So the City of Baxter, really, it depends on your population is how they base that. Currently, we need about 2.5. We're at 1. As expansion goes, we want more. I'd love to see about 3 working full-time now. And as the growth happens in Baxter, hopefully there'll be more coming down the line. But that's the goal is we're looking for is maybe to have 3 people per day on shift and ready to respond. So.
How often are you talking with the council? Because like at the county level, you know, our department heads, they talk to us, but they really don't get we don't really have deep conversations until budget time, right? How does it work in the City of Baxter?
Somewhat similar. We try to have a few sessions, you know, informational. I try to give them a report as we go through the years, what's coming, and I have a 5-year growth plan that I put out for them. And here's what we're looking at. Here's what we need to do, and here's the process. And hopefully, we can get to that point.
Yeah, and you got a good council. I mean, those guys, experienced. They've worked hard. They've got this department to where they're at now, right? And of course, we talked about the growth. There's houses going up. There's businesses, industry coming in, and you have to manage that. And then as fire chief, I know you're coordinating with those big businesses that are there and coming in, and you're having conversations with them as well. What does it look like to have fire service here, and how do we address that?
So with those big places coming in, like I said, coordination between the other departments like the water department or the sewer department, all that has to incorporate and be planned into factor when they start building. So we're looking at that currently with several of them. And as they grow and build, we're looking at being able to fit to be able to have the fire protection for them that they need in that spot and the response. Each one's unique depending on what they have, where they're at, location, what they're going to do and how many people are going to be employed. All that's taken into factor of what they need.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, it's a team effort. The people in place are there because they have experience and knowledge. And again, you have 30 plus years of experience on fire chief. So those conversations have to happen. Mayor Holmes and the council are talking with you, and you're talking to the police chief, and it's a team effort. So when, you know, I don't want to time you, Matt. I don't want you to predict your retirement, and I don't want to get into those discussions because I know you love what you do. And like you said last segment, you can't imagine doing anything else. Do you have any hobbies?
I do, yeah.
You go fishing?
Hunting, fishing.
Yeah. So when you can still do that. But
sure.
So when you leave, which we don't have a time frame, what would you envision the Baxter Fire Department look like? Is it similar to what it is now?
No, I would hope that there will be a lot more growth. That's the plan, and that's what we're looking at. They need to be providing better services, more people there, faster response. I'm hoping before I leave that we should have another station built somewhere in Baxter because of the growth that we have. There's several things that people don't really think about, but the expansion of it, with the ISO rating and your insurance ratings, they kind of limit you to being able to grow, and you have to stay within that boundary, or it may affect your citizens. So we want to be able to be on the front end of that and be able to grow before that's needed. As expansions and growth happening right now in Baxter, I would love to see a secondary station with firemen there also, so providing even better services. And hopefully when we get there.
Ideally, do you know where you'd like to have that located?
It really depends on how the city grows, but currently we're looking at somewhere in the south towards the interstate.
Sure.
That's really where it needs to happen and occur right now because of the growth that's taking place.
How many times do y'all go down the interstate for a call? How many times are you getting on Interstate 40?
Oh, it's almost daily, but at least several times a week.
Yeah. So it would be ideal to be right there.
I mean, close.
Baxter's not huge, but you got red lights, you got stop signs, and of course you have the right of way with emergency services, but you still have to be cautious, right?
Yes. It's always dangerous. We try to respond to the safest we can, but the interstate and high speed highways like that, it's even more dangerous and you have to use extra precaution for.
What is the hardest part about being a firefighter, Matt? What do you feel like? I know it's other than being away from the family, and we've talked about that. What's the hardest part of it?
Probably some of the tragic things you see.
Sure.
I mean, really, it is. People talk about all kinds of things going on and the reoccurring things, but even as a volunteer, you see some pretty horrific things that most people don't want to see.
Yeah.
But even helping the good and the bad, you just try to overlook it and outweigh it because you're doing more good than the harm that you see. And, we hope that it don't affect anybody, but we know it does in places.
Yeah, and, of course, I know enough of you all that's emergency services. You and, of course, Brandon Smith's a good friend of mine, and Randy Porter, obviously, is a good friend of mine, come from emergency services. And, you're human.
Yes, you are.
Right? Yeah. And you are the front line of any accident, incident, tragedy. And for people to think, it doesn't bother you. It bothers you. You're a human. It takes a toll on you. But God called you to do something, and you continue to do it. And there's good.
There is.
And then there's the bad.
Yeah, and I thank you every day for giving me the ability to help people like that. It's just hard to – I think that I'm doing more good than I can do anywhere else. And he put me, like I said, he put me here for a reason, and he gave me those abilities for a reason, and that's what I want to do.
I love that. I love the fact that you said he put you in this position because you feel like you're doing your best work there, right? Sometimes we go through life, and we may be doing something that we're not, that's not what we're meant to do. But you feel like
I do.
I'm in the fire service, and so – When you decide to go, I didn't ask you this earlier, and I should have. What did your daddy say when you decided to go into to EMT and emergency services?
Oh, he was all for it. He did it. My brother's done it. They were all for it, and they were like, you'll really enjoy it.
So they finally say, about time?
Yep.
you finally convinced you, right?
Yep.
Well, I think it's, again, it's a special person to do what you do and be – committed to giving yourself to others every single day. And I want to thank you for that, because I know the city of Baxter is better off for having you and your staff. And you so right quick, who works for the Baxter Fire Department? Let's give them some credit. Who's on your team?
So I've got our administrative team. Of course, I'm the chief. John Ramsey is actually my assistant chief for the fire department, as we mentioned him earlier. There's Zach Walmart, which is my training captain, and I have also Danny Cow, which is in the training department. So they're the ones that kind of help everything going and keep everything going, because, you know, the office team and the administrative team really helps me do some training and keep people going. But I've got different people. I've got Philip Roper. I've got Travis Lee. And I've got several part-time people that help me work every day, you know, to fulfill those.
John Ramsey, and all of them are great, but John Ramsey does so much. He wears so many hats, and he does so much. I love him, John. He's just a good guy.
And he'll never let you down. You call and ask for something, he'll find a way to make it happen.
Listen, he'll get from Martin's Creek to Baxter quick.
Quick.
And when I see him coming, I make sure I get out of his way, because I know he's on a mission, especially when it comes to emergency services. He's doing so many things, and we're thankful. I'm thankful for all those folks. I'm thankful for the leadership in Baxter. Matt, you're a big part of that. I hope you're around a while.
I'm with him too. I love the people of Baxter. I love the town, the community. They've been so great to me, and I want to give back to them. That's what they need. So,
well, that's important. Of course, you're a church man, community man down there in Boma. And
yes.
How long you went to New Home now?
About 8 years.
Okay.
Seven, 8 years. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, you put up with Dustin Williams, so you're a patient man there. No, I love Dustin too. But, Matt, Chief, I appreciate you being on and taking your time to be here again. Thank you for being in the Baxter Fire Department and all your service to the city of Cookeville and the county for years. I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. I've enjoyed it and enjoy what I do, like I said, and I hope many more years of it.
When you see Danny, tell him something bad and tell him I said it.
I'll do it.
Okay. Folks, Chief Matt Watt, City of Baxter Fire Department, full-time since 2022. Thankful for that service inside the city. I just live a few miles outside the city, and I'm thankful that I know if something happened, Chief Watt and his team would be at my home or my parents' home, so I'm thankful. Folks, remember, it's a lot easier to smile than a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. Let's thank those people like Chief Watt in our fire service, in our emergency services, in our public safety. They're giving and sacrificing every single day. When you see them, thank them and tell them how much you appreciate them. Hope you enjoyed this like I have. We'll see you next time.